Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
That's right. That's what Apostle Culver last week said. Whatever anointing flows in the house flows on you. So wherever you go, you got to realize you carry that. Amen. And healing and miracles are a big part of our house. I'm excited to see Sharita move in that. And all the way in Florida, she moved in that anointing and she saw a breakthrough in that area. Amen. Come on. Take that testimony for you, right? This week, find somebody to heal. I didn't say pray, but heal in Jesus' name. All right. When you realize that you are the habitation of God, and I want to emphasize that again. When you realize that you are God's habitation, God's dwelling place, you realize that God lives in you. And because God lives in you, wherever you go, God goes. And I don't think most more believers really are conscious of the reality. And that's why we have to break this sin consciousness, right? The idea that, you know, we believe that there's sin in us, but we still have yet to fully accept that God is in us, that Christ is in us. And when Christ died for you and he shed his blood, he became sin for you so that you can become righteous. So once he shed his blood, and the Bible says that he became you, he became us. That's called the atonement. At one moment in history, God judged one man on behalf of the entire human race. That's the atonement. That's called the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction of wrath, that at one moment in time, his one man went to the cross and God counted his death as our death, his judgment as our judgment, his punishment as our punishment. So that when Jesus died for, he didn't die for his sins, he died for our sins because he had no sin. So when he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for himself. He was dying for you. He was dying for me. He died for us. So watch the simplicity of the gospel. That in one moment in history, God dealt with one man. And that one man was considered guilty. God judged him like a sinner. But then because he did it on behalf of a fallen race, when after he died believing that God was going to raise him back from the dead because he knew that he was justified. So after he died in faith, he went to the cross and believing the word that there was a prophecy and a testimony all throughout Israel's accounts through the prophets that God was going to raise the Messiah back up from the dead. So Jesus, believing that he knew that this is who he was, went to the cross, laid down his life, and knew that in 3 days, God was going to raise him back up, although he was in hell, although he was in Hades. He was preaching while he was down there. The good news that I'm about to get up. And if you believe in me, you're about to rise up with me. Hallelujah. So when the Spirit came, the Bible says that the Spirit raised Christ from the dead. So he gave up the ghost so he can go to hell. But the Spirit went back because God is the God of not only heaven, he's also the God of hell. He's not only the God of the living, but he's the God of the dead. So then God sent the Holy Ghost into hell. The devil couldn't stop him. The demons couldn't stop him. They couldn't keep him down. They couldn't pull on his leg and say, you ain't going nowhere. He rose up with all power in his hands. And all the devil could do is sit there and watch. And that's all the devil is going to do in this season is just watch where God is going to take you. He's going to watch where God is going to raise you up. He's going to watch, come on, as God blesses you. See, but you got to realize what you really carry and that God deposited something in you that's far more valuable than your job, than your greatest career. Come on. Something more powerful, more valuable than anything that money can buy. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Come on. And we need to stop playing around with this thing. The Bible says I can't cast my, what, pearls to swine. I can't give that which is valuable to those who don't know their value. So if we are saying that we want the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, to live in us, to function in us, and we want to learn how to live in Him, then we have to take the deposit of God seriously. We have to treasure this gift. And as I close this series on True Ghost Stories, I wanted to give you guys something that I feel is one of my secrets. And I haven't really taught this before. I actually did on Tuesday. If you were here on Tuesday, you heard a little snippet of this. So on Tuesdays, I teach better than on Sundays. All right? So you got to come on Tuesdays to experience that. So I'm going to try to do as good of a job today as I do on Tuesdays. But I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 7. And I'm going to talk about the flow. Everybody say the flow. The flow. I want to teach you about flow because if we're going to learn how to live on God's terms, and we got to learn how to live the way God wants us to live, then we have to understand this all-essential important truth. John chapter 7, verse 38. We're going to read three verses really quick, John 7, 38. Let's start from there. When you have it, say amen. Amen. John 7, verse 38 says, if anyone, let's look at 37. On the last day of the feast, on the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The word drink means to receive. If you look up the definition of drink, it means to receive. When you drink something and you're receiving something. So if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and receive. Verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow. Everybody say flow. Flow. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And that's another secret right there. The Bible says the Spirit was not given until Jesus was glorified. So if you want to receive the Spirit, you must first glorify Jesus. If you're not glorifying Jesus, the Spirit won't be given. So it's important because if we make church about us and not about Jesus, the Spirit won't be given. But when we go back to the verse before, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, how many people actually know what that means? Besides, that's a nice Bible verse. So it's one thing I want you to realize, where did Jesus say the flow was going to come from? Out of you, out of your heart, right? Out of your, some verses say your belly. Another verse says out of your innermost being. Out of the deepest place of you, the Bible says that the Spirit, but I like the word heart better, out of your heart, there will be a flow, and Jesus said it would be like a river of living water. Hold that thought, and I want you to look at me at, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans 8. I'll read 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, those who have received Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life. For the law of the Spirit of life. Now, I want you to realize that the Bible also calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he's not just the Spirit of church. He is a Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you and enable you to do life. Hallelujah. And he wants you to be a master of life. In fact, Romans 5, Paul says that if you receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace that the Holy Spirit gives you, you will reign in life. All right? But notice what he also says. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. It's important that you realize that sin was a law. That sin was a law. And in order for a law, in order for you to overcome one law, you need another law. In order for you to overcome a law, you need a law that's greater than the previous law that gives you the ability to live above that law. So just like the law of gravity keeps us all grounded, the law of thermodynamics gives us the ability to fly and beat gravity. One law has to be given that's more powerful. The law of the Spirit of life is more powerful than the law of sin and death. You got the Holy Ghost in you. That's why you don't have to sin anymore once the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because he's giving you the power to live right, but he's also giving you the ability to live an abundant life, right? So the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. We don't have to turn here, but another verse says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But once again, where is the Spirit of the Lord? In you. So there's freedom in you right now. Freedom, you don't need freedom around you first. You need freedom in you first. Holy Spirit is in you, and when you're free, the word free not only means you can do whatever you want, the word free means you are exempt from. When Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, he was saying that you will be exempt. So when people are bound, they are bound because they are believing lies. When you receive truth, the truth sets you free and makes you exempt. So what other people have to be bound to, once you know the truth, you're free from it. When you're exempt from a test, you don't have to take the test. Come on. You are exempt. Once you get the truth about who you are in Christ, you are exempt from the things that the rest of the people in this world are bound to. And you need a truth to set you free. You need a revelation to set you free. And who's giving you that revelation and that truth? The Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost in you. Come on, church. So the Holy Spirit is not just something. I'm building. He's a teacher, right? He's a guide. He wants to teach you something. Now I want to teach you something. I'm building. Now turn with me to Leviticus chapter 17. The law. We don't go in the Old Testament a lot in this church, right? There's nothing wrong with it. We understand the Old Testament because we understand the New. Amen. All right? It was a shadow of things to come. Now, watch this very powerful secret. I don't know if you guys are ready for this. 17, verse 11. Now, we understand we're talking about the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. Look at verse 11. What does it say? For the life of a creature is where? The life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. I'm going to read the New Living Translation so this doesn't sound too deep. I just explained to you what atonement is, right? You can break that word up to at one moment or at one moment. When something is an atonement, it means there is something happening on behalf of someone else or something else. I don't have it in my notes. Leviticus, I'm reading it. I want to read the New Living Translation. All right, I got it. For the life of the body is in its blood. Now, do you understand that? You understand that concept? This is science now. This is natural. The life of a creature, of a created thing, is in its blood. So one of the things that God forbid, gave a command to the people of Israel was not to eat meat with blood in it. Because the life of a thing is in its blood. So anytime we eat anything, we drain the blood out. Right? Hope so. no vampires in here, right? We drain the blood out because the life is in his blood. Now look at this. The life is in the blood. How does blood operate in our bodies? It carries oxygen, right? We understand that the reason why blood is has its life is because when we inhale breath and we take in oxygen, our system, circulatory system, has a way of taking the oxygen out of the air that our body needs, and the blood carries that blood. I mean, the blood, it carries that oxygen through the rest of our bodies. So breath, when it enters into our body, it enters into our bloodstream, and it goes. So within blood is spirit. So the when the Bible says that God breathed into Adam, not only did breath come into his body, blood started flowing in his body. That's why when Jesus shed his blood, his last breath, he gave up the what? Ghost. That was the last thing he gave up. The blood was pouring out, and at the end, he gave up the spirit. So blood and spirit was released at the cross. So watch this. The law of the spirit of life. Blood flows in our body, doesn't it? We call the movement of blood in our body a blood flow. And inside of blood is life. So it lets us know that life itself is supposed to flow. Life is supposed to flow. And if your life is not flowing, then you can also assess that something is wrong. When blood stops flowing in your body, you only have a few minutes before you're dead. Come on. And the blood flows through our body through a rhythm. Our heart beats the blood and pumps it all throughout our body. So pay attention. So flow needs a pulse or a rhythm, and it flows from the heart. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, John 7, Jesus said, come to me. No, I'm skipping. He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. And what happens? What happens? When you drink, what he's giving you. He said you will see a flow from within. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. See, this is the problem with the law, because the law doesn't teach you how to live from your heart. Rules, commandments, the externals, thou shalt. You had to obey even if your heart was in it. You just had to do what God said to do or you'll be cursed. Even if your heart wasn't in it, even if you didn't want the New Testament, God put it to obey. That was the Old Testament lifestyle. Under the New Testament, God put his spirit in you. And now, according to the law of the spirit of life, we don't just live by rules. We live by spirit. And the spirit now wants to flow from within your heart. So this is one of the reasons why God treats us with grace. Because one of the reasons why we need grace is because grace has the ability to remove the conformities or the, The truth of the matter is many people are in church right now, not because they want to, but because they believe they have to. They believe they have to be in church because if they don't, they don't want anything bad to happen. They believe that if they don't give, God may curse them financially. They believe that, well, if I don't show up in church, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. And so the only reason why they have any form of commitment to God is because of the fear of judgment or the fear of wrath. So you're here because you have to. But how many people know, God, if we're in a relationship, you don't want anybody in a relationship with you who just feels they have to be here. You want a relationship with someone that wants to be here. God doesn't want us worshiping him or serving him because we think we have to. He wants us to actually want to worship him. And for that to happen, it has to be from the what? From the heart. Come on. That's why when you force people to do things, it doesn't flow. Because it's not from the heart. So there's a direct connection between the flow of the Spirit and the intentions of your heart. Most Christians are totally unaware of their heart. In fact, they don't even pay attention to their heart. It's all about the motive, right? What's your motive? What's your motive? The Bible says, and out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of your heart is flowing the issues in your own life. If you don't pay attention to your heart, you'll be wondering why these issues are going on. But the Bible says, you can't point to anybody else about your issues. The issues in your life is your issues because it's flowing from in you. And until you face the root, face you, you won't face or deal with the root of the issues. Somebody say life. That's God, Leviticus 7. Let me jump to Matthew chapter 11, and that's the last verse. So you guys got Leviticus 17:11. What's the principle in Leviticus? The life of the body is where? In its blood, okay? So notice that blood flows. Write this down. Blood flows. Blood flows. So the revelation behind that is that life itself flows. And it is a flow that depends on the heart. It is a flow that depends on the heart. Amen? You guys got that? So Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? So when you understand this thing called flow, I don't know if there's if you're in the realm of music or in the realm of sports, you might hear athletes talk about how they got into a flow. Athletes say they're in a flow when it just seems like the game starts getting easier for them. Or if you're a singer, or you're a rapper, or you're an artist, or you're a creative, or you're a writer, there are times when you have writer's block, when you just can't write anything, and there's times you get into a flow. If you've ever had to do a paper in school, there was a time when you just couldn't get anything on the paper. And then when you had 20 minutes to hand it in, all of a sudden, it just seemed like you got into a flow. Right? I was just flowing now. I work better under pressure. Now, that was how I believed. I've all through my whole academic career, that was just me. That's what I believed. I would literally wait to 72 hours or 48 hours before something was due, and I would just stay up all night and just get everything done. And I would always say, like, I just can't work 3 weeks in advance. I can't work 2 weeks in advance. The things God showed me to the end. And one of the things God showed me recently, just recently, he said the only reason why you have to wait till the end to do it is because you don't have a system. My system was, and within 48 hours, I will give intense focus to what I need to do, and I'll get it done. That was my system. God said to me, he said, son, if you want to be successful, you need a success flow. You need a success flow. Pay attention. The blood doesn't just flow wherever it wants in your body. There's an order. There's a system that God put in place in your body in which your blood is supposed to flow correctly. When you look at a river that flows, rivers flow within a direction, and they flow within a bank, right? We call it river banks. And if the river flows over the bank, then we know we have a problem. But a river stays within a bank. There is a order. There is a flow there, in which there is a structure that's set in place in order to maintain the flow. Now, the reason why this is so important is because many of you in Christ, you might have had moments where you flowed, and then there's moments when it just seems like it's dry. Prayer is easy. I'm reopening up the word, and I understand what I'm reading. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to come to church. And then it just seems like the flow is gone. What happened? What happened to me? Now, let me tell you something. And I say this with all humility. How long I've been saved now? In my 20 years of walking with Christ, I've never had a dry season. I've never had a dry season, and I don't tend to have one. Amen. But now, people told me when I was younger, oh, you're just excited right now. Yeah. Wait till you go through life. Yeah. Wait till you have to deal with responsibilities. Yeah. I'm talking about older saints will tell me that. And they try to give me their experience. Yeah. To become my experience. But this verse I just read to you, I held on to that. Not one river out of my heart will flow rivers. Not one river, rivers. Multiple streams of increase. Multiple streams of increase in the Spirit. I don't care what sin I commit. Because you want to put the Holy Ghost in me. Yeah. If you didn't, if God, you think God didn't know that you was going to sin after he put the Holy Spirit in you? You think your sin catches him by surprise? But yet he still chose to fill you. Hallelujah. Because he wants you to know your sin does not separate you from him. Hallelujah. Come on, the law of sin and death has been overpowered by a greater law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Hallelujah. I said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ sets you free from the law of sin and death. Come on, the wages of sin is what? Death. But you're not under that law anymore. Woo, hallelujah. You sin today and grace abounds. That's the law you're under. I know religious and legalistic people will tell you that, you know, the wages of sin is death. And they'll tell you the consequences of your sin is still death. That's not true in Christ. The consequences of your sin in Christ is forgiveness. How can you have a dry day, a bad day with that consciousness? Even when I want to feel bad, I'm just like, all right, I just got to give in. I can't stay mad at myself because now I'm in disobedience to what he said he did for me. You see? If you want to stay in the flow, you have to learn how to let go and let God. Amen. Write that down. If you want to stay in the flow, you got to learn how to let go and let God be God. Paul said it best. He said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God. See? For I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Do you believe that about yourself? That you've been crucified with Christ? Do you believe that? Cross and die. Or do you listen to religious preachers who tell you, pick up your cross and die? Or do you believe you already died in Christ? Amen. Romans 6 said, you are dead. All right, I got to hurry up. I want to give you this principle. Come to me, those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first thing Jesus wants to give you in him is rest. When you're in a flow, there is rest. When you're in a flow, there is ease. I talked about when athletes say they're in a flow, right? It's like everything just seems to just come easy, effortlessly. It's just coming, right? And this lifestyle of flow is what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ looks like. I told you, I assess whether or not I know I'm doing the will of God in certain areas in my life when there is a flow. But when there is not a flow, I need to assess what's going on. Because the flow doesn't mean that there's no challenges. It just means that you just get through them real easy. Right? It doesn't mean that you don't have to work. It doesn't mean that you don't operate, you don't put any effort. It doesn't mean that you may not have any long days. But your stress level is not at level 8 or 9 or 10. Because most people right now, especially in our country, your stress levels never really get below 6. You go from one stressor to another stressor. And our thing is, well, we need to go on vacation and we need to travel all the way somewhere to the other side of the world to alleviate this stress, only to worry when we're away about the stress we got to come back to. Right? No, church, there's a growth. Think about that. I'm going to put it out of our minds, but it ain't going anywhere. No, church, there's a greater way to live. Amen. Jesus said, if you come to me, if you labor and you are burdened down, I will give you this thing called rest. Can I show you one more verse before we close? Yeah. Isaiah 30, verse 15. The Old Testament prophesied about this rest. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says this. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 30, 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. We have preached the returning part, but we haven't preached the rest part. Return to Jesus. Return to me. Return. We preach to people to return. But the Bible says it is in returning and rest you shall be saved. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm upgrading your salvation right now. First class? Listen, I mean, you're in a flow. It feels like first class, right? He says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. You see, you have to be willing to enter in to this lifestyle called rest. Because the world has taught you labor, taught you force and striving, and even tell you, because you're black, you got to struggle. And it's just a part of life. We have things, different things that we believe about ourselves, that we embrace the mindset of labor. And so God is shifting us from a labor-oriented lifestyle to a rest-oriented lifestyle, where life is supposed to flow, where life becomes easier in Christ, not harder. I said life is supposed to be easier, church. Come on, God wants to bring you into a flow. When you walk with God, you got to understand that God is a God of flow. That's why anytime you try to force anything with God, it doesn't work. When you try to control, it doesn't work. Because you know what control really is? It's really fear. So when we're trying to control things, it's really because we're not in trust. We're not in confidence. We're not in quietness. But when you're in a place of rest, you can let go. See, a river is designed, when you get into a river, it carries you away. There's a current. Come on, when you move with God, God puts you in a flow. When you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, he's not filling you to be a vessel that is stagnant. He's filling you to be a sail that when his wind blows, you will blow along with the wind. Your ship will set sail and you will go with God into realms, into places, into territory. You could have never got there in your own strength. That's why you're not a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have died and God is breathing in you again, a new life force, a new flow in you. You're going from this mindset of labor and striving and struggling. And Jesus said, come to me and I'm going to teach you how to rest. Now, we know Jesus wasn't just sitting around all day resting. Jesus was busy, right? Jesus worked very hard for 3 years. Nonstop action. But he was in rest. Let me teach you the secret of rest. Because rest is not ceasing from work. It's not ceasing from effort. But what rest is about is this. My foundation is the revelation that the work has been finished. See, if I'm working toward salvation, I never feel at rest in my salvation. And isn't that most Christians? They're trying to stay saved. They're trying to work to keep their salvation. See, you're always stressed. Because you don't know if you're doing enough to stay saved. Come on, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Your work, you're stressed at your job, you're stressed at home, and then you're stressing your salvation. So you got an additional stressor that the rest of the world don't have. When they go to the club or do whatever they want, they're not stressed. You go to church on the weekend and you're stressed. Jesus. No, man, that's not the life Christ intended for you. Listen, the work has been finished. If I have more time, I'll show you in the book of Genesis where rest all started. This is the foundation of your destiny. The foundation of your destiny is rest. Rest is the climate in which faith grows. Rest is the climate in which faith grows. The minute you move out of rest, your faith becomes stagnant, it stops flowing, and it becomes ineffective. Faith grows in a climate of rest. Adam's first day was a day of rest. God created a finished planet. And on the sixth day, created Adam. And on the seventh day, he was alive. So Adam's first day wasn't work, it was rest. His first day was the seventh day, the day that God himself rested. The Sabbath, we call it. Church, God created Adam and immediately wanted to show him that this is the starting point of your life with me. Rest. We're not trying to work to get to rest. You're working from rest in Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're working from rest. So when you think about the things that are keeping you up all night, that you're stressing out on and you're struggling to find quietness and trust about, it's because you first have not found this place that Christ wants to bring you into. You're still trying to do things the way of the world because we don't trust that he is able to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. If you believe he is able, we can rest. If you believe God is good, rest. Come on. If you believe that God is a good father and he'll provide for you and take care of you, you can rest. Come on. And then you understand that he already gave you a finished work. Just like he gave Adam a finished planet. You have a finished work in Christ. That your salvation is now based on everything Christ already did for you. So how you live today is that you're not working to rest. Come on, you're working from rest. Think about how different your life would be. See, it starts from the finished work, right? Adam started at a finished work. In Christ, you start from a finished work. Your salvation is a finished work. You don't add anything to your salvation. Can you comprehend that? Think about it. You don't add anything to your salvation. You don't make yourself more saved. You don't make yourself more righteous. You are as righteous today as you'll ever be. Why? Because the righteousness you have today is not your righteousness. It's the righteousness that Christ gave you. It's God's righteousness in exchange for your filthiness and sinfulness. So I'm not doing anything to get right with God. I've already been made right with God, and that's the starting point of my salvation. I don't have to sow a $1,000 seed to get blessed from God. I'm already blessed in God, so I can give $1,000 if I want.
Come on, yes.
But the difference between work and rest is that your motive or the foundation or the starting point of how you live your life is, I'm not doing something to get or earn something from heaven. I am starting from the point that Christ already earned everything that I could ever want in life. And I go through him with my spirit of praise and thanksgiving because that's what a life of rest requires. If the work has been done, what do I have to do? Say thank you for it.
Hallelujah.
That's why praise is so important for the New Testament believer. Come on. Any lack in your life is right, I guarantee you right now, is because you haven't been praising God for the thing that you want from him. If you're looking for a car, God, thank you for the car. Thank you for it. And you praise knowing that God will bring a car for you. You see? Now, the works mindset is, now I got to go out of my way. I got to do everything I can to get this car. But he knew you a car when you're ready for it. But he knows the desires of my what?
Heart.
And out of my heart will flow rivers of living waters. So it's a whole new way of living. I don't expect you to fully grasp this thing in the time tonight, today. But I want to leave you with the words of your Savior, of your Lord, of your Christ. And we're going to end here somewhere, Matthew 11. Now let's go back there. Hallelujah. It took me years to get this. It took some trial and error, and I'm still getting it. I'm still learning how to live in flow. But what? Look what he said. I'm going to give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So the way you're going to put this yoke, the yoke of Christ on you, is that you have to learn. What is Jesus teaching you? What is Jesus trying to teach you? What are we learning from him? What is the philosophy of Christ that sets us, that sets him apart from the rest of the world? Rest. All the other religions preach that you have to work for peace, work for salvation, nirvana, some place of relaxation, of ultimate relaxation. Christ tells you, you have already been given these things because of what he did at the cross. Peace is a finished work. Prosperity is a finished work for you, church. Healing is a finished work for you. So this is why all these things we speak in the past tense, because it already happened. You just got to believe it. If you believe and you come to me, out of you will flow these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your own righteousness. His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. I'm telling you, the reason why more things are not being added to you is because you're still trying to seek out according to your righteousness. You think, when I get it right, then God is going to bless me. No, Jesus already got it right for you. Receive his righteousness, and guess what? Things start being added to you. If y'all believe this, you'll be praising right now. I'm going to make you come into a flow. All your needs are waiting to be added. God is going to make you come into a flow in this season, church. You're moving from a state of labor, a state of striving, and a state of struggle. And I'm telling you, you're going to see a flow in your finances. You're going to see a flow in your household. You're going to see a flow in your family. Come on. Everything is going to seem easier now because you understand that rest is my foundation in him. It's already done. I live a life of rest. I live a life of favor. Come on. Do you know what favor does? Favor says, I love you so much, so you don't got to lift a finger. I'll do it for you. Come on. The kingdom of God is favor propelled. Once you step into the kingdom, all of a sudden, doors start opening for you. It's like, instead of going up the stairs, you get on the escalator. You can take the long, hard way, or you can take the easy way. I like ease. I don't know about you. And you know what the law does? It tries to put you in a declining escalator and tells you to go up. You go on an escalator that's going down, and you're trying to go up. You're going up. And then on top of that, it'll tell you, try harder. You got to go faster. Then you start to go faster up a declining escalator. But guess what? You're still in the same place. And all it can tell you, you're not trying hard enough. You're not doing enough good works. And the escalator is still moving against you. And if you stop, you're just going down. And that's when people give up, kill themselves, commit suicide. I'm talking about Christians because they were on the wrong side of the escalator. The law put them on this works-based system in which they kept, I got to try harder, I got to try harder. When all you need to do is just step over and step into this free-flowing grace in which God just takes you higher and takes you higher. All you got to do is step on and rest, and it'll carry you. You don't even need to walk. All God says is just stay here, and I'll carry you higher. Hallelujah. Come on, church. This is what rest looks like. And you're in the kingdom of God. Give you rest. Take my yoke to bring you into this rest. Look at this. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Which means that if you don't take his yoke, you're going to have another yoke to wear. There's many yokes out there. But Jesus said, take my yoke, because all of us are yoked to something right now. But put my yoke on you, Jesus says, and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is what? Easy. Come on. I said God is going to make your life easier. Whatever you're trying, whatever doors you're trying to open up for yourself, God just says today, get into the flow. Get into my flow. Come on, who am I preaching to? Get into my flow. Success is going to flow. Yeah, let's, you keep listening to these people. So you got to grind. Don't sleep. You can sleep when you die. They'll tell you all these lies because that's the system of this world. Work, 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 work. But in the kingdom, God says, rest, rest. I got you. Rest, rest. Come on, look at somebody next to you. Find five people to say, rest, rest, rest. Say, rest. God got you. God got you. Come on, rest. Rest. I said, God got you. Rest. Come on. I want you to exchange your worry right now for rest.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.